Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today.
If you have your Bibles, please turn with me once again to the book of John, John chapter 1. And I'll read the same two verses that I read last time. John chapter 1, verse 32 and 33. "And John bare record," or testified, or said, "Yeah, that's what happened," saying, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not. But he that sent me," or the Lord in heaven, the Father that sent me to baptize with water, "the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost." Heavenly Father, please help us today. Lord, I'm still dealing with this cough that simply will not go away. And last time I asked for prayer for me, but I want to turn it around. Everybody that has this COVID XYZ, whatever it is this year, or the flu, or they're calling it an upper respiratory infection, I guess because they don't want to call it COVID, I guess. But whatever this is, and I meet a lot of people that have it, the cough won't go away. Please help us. Please let the cough go away. Let the sore throat go away so that we wouldn't be bothered with this anymore. And I know that everyone that approached Jesus Christ when he was here on the earth, they went away healed. And it says, I believe in James, "If there's any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and pray, and that you'd heal the sick. Oh, and by the way, you'd forgive sins." So Lord, do that for us. Please help us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I keep reading these verses talking about Jesus when he was baptized, that he would be the one that baptizes not with water, but with the Holy Ghost. We know in this chapter, chapter 1, that twice when John saw Jesus approached, he couldn't help himself, but he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." That is certainly one of Christ's titles, Savior, one of his duties. Even in Revelation, they sing, gathered around the throne, that Jesus is worthy because he was slain for the sins of the world. That is the most important thing. But it says here in other places that Jesus is identified as the one that baptizes with the Holy Ghost. We know that the Spirit came down in the form of a dove and rested upon him. But in context, Christ came to die for our sins, and then he rose from the dead and he went back to heaven, and one day he's coming back. But in the interim, and it's been 2,000 years so far, we're supposed to do the work. We're supposed to preach the gospel. And a little bit later in my sermon today, we're supposed to live right. We're supposed to live as the Bible says. It should be obvious that, hey, that man's a Christian. I mean, I know what he used to do on Friday and Saturday night back then, but he's different now. So he gives us power. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, to win the lost, but power to live the Christian life. And again, I got it in my notes. But let's jump into our text today, 1 Samuel, and there's no way I can read it all. This is some time after Saul was anointed. We looked at that last week. But Samuel said in verse 1, again of 1 Samuel 15, "The Lord sent me to anoint thee," reminding him, "I was sent to anoint you to be king over God's people, Israel. Now, therefore, hearken," or listen, "to the voice of the words of the Lord." Makes sense. Called you to be king. Hey, why don't you listen to me? Samuel is echoing the words of the Lord. Samuel didn't call him. Samuel's not necessarily speaking to him. God called him. And prophets or ministers or what have you are supposed to speak on behalf of the Lord. We're not supposed to say what we want in our sermon. We're supposed to say what the Word says or what the Bible says in our sermons. We don't speak for ourselves. We speak for God. And we have, in my Bible, it's 1,500 pages of what God said. "But I called you to be king. Hey, why don't you listen up and do what I say?" Or as Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Oh, and by the way, my commandments are not difficult or grievous. It's really easy to follow God. You may not think so, but it's easy to follow God, he's saying. And everything Jesus asks you to do, the Spirit will help you to do. And my commandments are not grievous. But Samuel says to Saul, verse 2, "Hey, God remembers what Amalek, the tribe of Amalek, did to Israel when they were coming out after the Red Sea. That Amalek laid in wait or set up an ambush and fought against it and gave trouble to Israel when they were coming up out of Egypt. Now, I'm going to pay them back," God says. "Go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not. Kill everybody," he says. Oh, a preacher, you know, guess what? This is what the Bible says. I'm not afraid or ashamed of some of the language and some of the things that God said and did in the Old Testament. I'm not ashamed of it. Destroy everything they've got, spare them not, and slay or kill both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. Again, I'm not ashamed of that verse. I will not apologize for that verse or any verse anywhere in the Bible. This is God. He's the judge. What he does is right. God had delivered his people. And again, everybody's seen the movie, The Ten Commandments. We understand what happened and how it happened that they came up out of Israel. And as they were on their way to the promised land, Amalek set up an ambush. And now it's payback time. So that's what God told King Saul to do. But, there's a but. Amalek, we can read in Exodus chapter 17 about him. Amalek is a symbol of the flesh, or our propensity to be people, normal people. It's our propensity to want to lay in bed and not get up to go to work. It's our propensity to want to slack off and not obey what the Bible says. To do so is not to walk in the Spirit or obey the Spirit or obey the Bible, but it's to walk in the flesh. And I preached a sermon, or actually a series, The Spirit and the Flesh, some years back. But Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Hey, don't go to the bar on Friday and Saturday night, because you're going to be tempted to do all of that stuff you used to do. Just don't go there and you'll avoid that temptation. Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. And we had been looking at this place called Gilgal, and I spent several weeks telling of Moses, telling of Joshua when they crossed over the River Jordan. We looked at Elijah and Elisha. And in these passages dealing with King Saul, it talks about Gilgal, how they're back and forth. It's not by accident that God talks of this town and the symbolism that goes with it. All of these sermons and all of the things we talked about, it all factors in with Gilgal. You see, Gilgal says, remember the Passover. Or remember Calvary, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Remember how you were in the wilderness. Remember how I led you, how after 40 years I took care of you, your shoes didn't even wear out. And remember the murmuring and the complaining and the rebellion and God's patience. And finally, that generation died off. And a new one after 40 years was ready to go to the promised land. But Gilgal says, hey, remember all of that stuff. We've got to break with our old life. We've got to live the Christian life. We have to crucify the flesh. Or as Paul says, mortify the deeds of the flesh. But again, all of these things go together. And this explains why John was baptizing. We can read about what he did. We can read about this and that. But Gilgal tells us why he was baptizing. Let's quickly go to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, it tells the story of John's baptism from a different perspective. We know what it says. We've read it. It says, then went out unto him Jerusalem in verse 5, and all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Confessing their sins. When John saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come, they weren't interested in confessing their sins. They were interested in the spectacle. They were interested in trying to show how John somehow must be wrong. They came to discredit the Baptist because The people understood. The people understood about Gilgal. The people understood all of their history. And confronted with John's hard preaching, they confessed their sins. But the Pharisees and Sadducees, they wanted nothing to do with repentance. They wanted to live their life. And John's preaching was an embarrassment to them. John said, "Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Which is a prophetic statement, and I'll get to it next time. "Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet or fit for repentance." But it says in verse 10, "And now also is the axe laid to the root of the trees. And every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is cut down or hewn down and cast into the fire." And two more verses, verse 11 and 12. "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." This passage here in Matthew chapter 3 is full of things to ponder. He sticks his finger in the Pharisees and Sadducees, the religious folks that crucified Christ, and said, "You need to repent. And because you won't repent, Israel is going to lose her place with God." And we know this to be true. From A.D. 70 until A.D. 1948, again about 2,000 years, Israel was thrown out of her land. The Jews were thrown out, and they were scattered all over the earth, and they endured persecution. You know, we think of Columbus sailed the ocean blue in 1492, discovered America. But in 1492, they were lumped with the Arabs and thrown out of Spain. And of course, then there's the Holocaust. They've suffered and suffered and suffered and suffered. And because of religion, not faith, not following God, not obeying the Bible, not having a heart tender toward God, but a religious mindset, and we can find evidence in the Gospels that they insisted, hey, mint and cumin and other spices, if they got a bag of mint, that they would take 10% and bring it to the temple or whatever and tithe it. But when Mama and Grandma got old and needed support, needed help, because he couldn't work anymore, couldn't walk anymore, the Pharisee says, "Well, I don't owe you anything, Mom and Dad. You tithe mint and cumin and ignore the weightier portions of the law." And because of this attitude, John is prophesying, as did Jesus later on many times, that the Jews would be thrown out of the promised land. But John's message to the nation of Israel, "And now also the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth forth not good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire." That's a collective thing for the nation of Israel. But take a look at this. In John chapter 15, Jesus is not speaking at that time to the nation of Israel, but to his disciples and to us today. He uses the same language. He says, every branch in me that bears not fruit, God will take away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he purges it, that it shall bring forth more fruit. Again, Jesus is talking individually to each person, that each person would get his heart right before God. But let's go back to John's message in Matthew chapter 3. I indeed baptize with water unto repentance, but he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Again, all of this has to do with Gilgal and repentance and remembering the things of God, the promises of God, the curses of God, all the things that are contained in the Bible. Will we walk according to the book, or will we not? Will we live a life of repentance? Got to repent to get saved? Then afterwards, every time you mess up, Lord, I'm sorry, I did that. I shouldn't have. Please forgive me. But Jesus baptizes with the Holy Ghost. Oh, we know what that is, or maybe we think we do. He shall baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And the fire works on the inside of us. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. But every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, we live in the city. Maybe your uncle down in Chauvin or something like that, he's got an orange tree, and he can tell you, man, my grandpa did this, and his grandpa, you got to cut it just right at this time of the year, and then there'll be more oranges if you learn how to prune it. Again, us city folks don't know anything about that, but it's the way farmers and what have you tend to their vineyards and orchards and what have you. Jesus will come. He'll baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. His fan is in his hand, and he will purge his floor. To purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, that again is talking about farming. If you have wheat, and we don't have that here, but you have to cut it down, and then you have to beat it so that the kernels are dislodged, because you can't chew the stems, you can't make bread out of the leaves, you have to make bread out of the kernel of wheat. You have to separate the wheat from the chaff. And then the chaff is burned up so that it can never contaminate the wheat. I mentioned earlier about living for God and abstaining or getting away from the things that tempt you to do wrong. And as you obey, God works sanctification in your heart and in your life. That's what the Holy Ghost and fire is all about.
Lord, take me back to
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus Christ in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net. That's JoeyKelly.net. And click on the ministry homepage or on the radio link. Or if you like, you can write me at 1208 Phocis Street. That's F-O-C-I-S Street, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.